First time ever an image of an actual black hole has been released to the public.
So dark matter is just simply what we call this thing about which we know nothing, responsible for 85% of the gravity of the cosmos.
Billion people roam planet Earth, people moving through time, through space. But what if there was more than meets the eye? Additional dimensions or perhaps another universe entirely?
Is there something out there beyond the blackness of the night? Beyond the dome. On this episode, we discuss dark matter, dimensional beings, and black holes. Join us for some very weird science on this episode of The Soul Trap.
Why don't people understand my
Andrew, it is good to have you with us. We already were discussing in part one stuff that is so amazing in a sense. And I was just talking behind the scenes with Kevin, our production manager, how that it really stretches your mind right to the limit. And you feel like, I can't get my mind around it. But then it is very amazing to look at the Bible and to see that what you're talking about in quantum physics, and at the very cutting edges of our understanding, it's almost as if the Bible is right there on the other side waiting for us. I've often quoted in The Soul Trap a physicist who said, we know that there's something there on the other side. Mm-hmm. We don't know how to get at it. Mm-hmm. When we left off, we were talking about the God particle, and then you had brought up Hawking's and the grand theory of everything. And then we had started to get in just a little bit mm-hmm. to the issue of dark matter. For our listeners, what is the difference between the God particle, we're using that little phrase, versus dark matter? What is dark matter? Mm-hmm. Is it really there? Is it theoretical? Mm-hmm. And if it is there, what is it?
So the Higgs, the God particle, we've discovered that. And that's that is matter. That makes up matter.
Matter that's not matter.
Yeah.
It's massless matter.
Yeah, okay. It's massless matter. But it contributes to overall matter that you and I are made of. And what, you know, this whole room, our planet. But cosmologists go out. And they were able to find a way to weigh our universe. And when they go actually to go and experiment and observe the universe, they can't, they're taking into account all the possibilities of planets, mm-hmm. Stars, black holes, everything that we know that is in the universe, but it's not weighing us down as the scientists, physicists have been able to predict. So that really developed into the idea of dark matter, that there's something out there weighing us down. And dark matter is kind of, I don't know why they call it that. One of my professors even actually said, it shouldn't really be called dark matter. I was sitting in my cosmology class. He said, it should be called transparent because we're seeing right through it. It's something's there weighing our universe down. But we don't know what it is, and they believe it's dark matter. I would argue, and I'll probably get a lot of flag for this. I believe that the spirit world is actually parallel to our world, and that's what's weighing us down. That's what I believe, because mm-hmm. I know you brought up Elijah, and you brought up how he was able to see the armies of heaven, mm-hmm. and then when you also think about it, to get into spooky stuff, when you think of paranormal, like ghost type of things, it's like something's there, but it's not there, and they're able, and these dark spirits, you know, are able to actually manipulate physical things and actually, throw something at someone or hit them.
Yes.
When you hear those stories about someone being haunted, they're being slapped by an invisible force.
Yes.
And so that's what I think is actually weighing us down, is that the spirit world is running parallel to our world.
Okay, so let's develop that thought. Let me take a step back just a minute. Let's develop that thought for 1 second. You said that the Higgs particle, if I'm using the term correctly, it's there, but it's not there, but it has force and influence on our physical world. Mm-hmm. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah.
Okay, so that sounds very familiar, does it not? And I'm going to keep tying this into the Bible because that's the whole point that Andrew and I have been discussing now for over a year. Mm-hmm. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that the things which were made we're not made of things which do appear. In other words, faith is all about faith in the unseen. The Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. It's the substance and the evidence of things not seen, ultimately, as I paraphrase that. So what we're talking about is a spirit world that is incorporeal, massless, to use a scientific term, yet somehow is able to have influence in the physical world. We're not sure how, but there it is. Now we move into the dark matter. And it's interesting that you used transparent. If you think about Jesus when he rose from the dead, not that he was transparent, but he was able to go through that door. In other words, he was able to move through in a sense. You talk about ghosts. Almost all ghosts have that transparent luminescence about them. There's that transparency. All of us, at many times, I should say most of us, have had that experience where we've felt something. We've sensed something. There's something in the room with us, beyond us, but we can't touch it or smell it or feel it, but we know that it's there. So in a sense, as a scientist, you're sitting in a classroom and you're hearing a guy talk, and man, it sounds a lot like the spirit world.
Yes.
So help us to understand what you mean by overlaying or parallel. We're obviously not talking about a parallel universe, but we're talking about a parallel particle, a parallel existence. Explain that for us.
So when I say a parallel dimension, I believe that, you know, that there are spirits all around us. The Holy Spirit is around us, but there's also dark spirits in our world. In terms of a parallel universe, I wouldn't say, I don't believe in a multiverse. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that there's infinite many versions of me. I believe that there's only heaven, which is its own, you know, designated dimension, and hell. You know, you have those. We know that to be true through the Bible, but there's that overlap. I believe that, you know, because, you know, Satan was cast down onto the earth at like lightning, and after the flood, God wiped all that off. But you have these beings that are still here. We battle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. And so I would say that when Christ died and rose again, I believe that there was that he created that veil, as you say, to protect us from those things, because, you know, these beings, good and bad, are so powerful that we can't even wrap our minds around. So I think that's that dimensional spirit world. And I believe that scientists are trying to break open that veil and see what's going on. And so that's what I think is happening, is that it's here, they're around us.
So how does whether it's dark matter or the Higgs, how does something like that have, what is the force that it can project into the physical world, if that question makes sense? How can something that's massless or transparent, so to say, and you mentioned something interesting about the Holy Spirit being spirit, does that massless, does it have spatial resonance? In other words, can you say that it is actually there if it doesn't have mass? If that question makes sense, how can it affect our physical world?
Yeah. So when it comes to, you know, because when you and I die, you know, if we have Jesus Christ, it's heaven. If not, it's hell.
Right.
So I think, you know, if, you know, because we know that there's stuff going on. There's battles going on. We know that from the Bible. You know, Daniel, the angel appeared to Daniel. It was like, hey, we had to go fight over
King
here.
King of Persia. Right,
yeah.
Right.
So I believe that there's stuff going on. And we're not seeing it. And so I would say that they're not flesh and blood like us. You know, we have actual flesh and blood bodies. We're going to die and decompose. But a spirit, you know, angel would be, you know, I would say that they are constituted of an entirely different substance, if that's the right term. Because they could be here and not be here. They can be around us, and then they can even project themselves into our universe. And we know that because Paul tells us to be aware, because we may come across an angel and not know it.
Right.
And so I think that is that they're just an entirely different, you know, I want to say, I would say genetic makeup or, you know, materialistic makeup. Mm-hmm. I think they're just made differently. God designed them differently. Mm-hmm. And when Adam and Eve were on there, we had that ability, but we lost that ability. Mm. So I think it's an energy type of thing.
An energy thing.
Yeah.
Okay, let me digress for one quick second, because I've read a little bit and studied a little bit, not much, not anywhere near you, but about string theory and the theory of vibration. Okay. At its very basic, at the most basic level. Mm-hmm. Now, you talked about the behavior of the Higgs and the zero spin. Mm-hmm. I've read about vibration, and I've found it fascinating because the Bible says in Genesis chapter number 1 that God said, the first action that we actually see in our physical universe is God speaking. And, of course, sound is vibration. Mm-hmm. And I've often wondered if that vibrational force could somehow, in other words, I'm always looking for bridges and connection between science and technology and the Bible. Mm-hmm. That vibration, what are they talking about when they're talking about that at that most base level? And then maybe even if you could dive into string theory a little bit with that.
So I'm not too familiar with string theory. I was told, and this was like back in high school, by my high school physics teacher, he told us that once the Higgs was discovered, string theory was kicked out the door.
Okay.
But I'm not too sure, so I would have to do some more homework. Can I get
back to
you on that?
So the Higgs theory is really, that's the one that's kind of the overarching right there.
Yeah. So
okay, so what about the vibrational? Is that connected with the string theory, or is that more the way the...
Well, there's always oscillations. We know that. We're oscillating at a certain frequency.
Okay.
So I think that's what, you know, when you mean vibrational, I would call that oscillations.
Okay.
So I think that, you know, I remember correctly from classical mechanics, everything has an oscillation. We didn't get quite into any of that in quantum mechanics, but I got some great books, and I can refer it back to you on that. But in terms of the beginning, when God said, "Let there be light," people say, you know, scientists say the Big Bang.
Right.
What was first created?
Uh-huh. You
know, there was a big, bright flash of light.
Right.
So I think that's very interesting. And
so no matter where they go, whether they want to try to accept creation or try to go to the Big Bang, they still keep running back into God because they're still in the beginning, let there be light.
Jesus,
they cannot get away from
it. Jesus, like you said, Jesus said he is the light. Well, where do we get our energy from? We get it from the sun.
Uh-huh.
We get, you know, without the sun, our planet would die out.
Mm-hmm.
So light is a very, very important thing, a very important attribute that we need to, you know, really think about in the nature of light and light in terms of the Bible. God spoke light into existence.
Yeah.
And in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was, became flesh.
Right.
No, I butchered that.
No. I know what you're going.
So
what is the, if you don't mind, let me jump in. Mm-hmm. What is the mystery about light?
Mm-hmm.
I've read quite a bit about how that light has some odd, peculiar behaviors.
Okay.
Light is a particle, yet it acts as a wave at sometimes and then doesn't.
Yeah.
So if a light is a particle, why can it go through glass?
Yeah.
Why, in other words, how do you get a particle to simply go through another? Is it that small?
Yeah.
What is it that's unusual about light, especially from the quantum field side?
So light is, we treat it as a particle. We say particle loosely, like when you and I were just talking about a vague object, we'll say particle.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like a little burst of energy. That's all it is, like a little burst of energy. But it travels like a wave. And we've proven that, want to say it was Michelson and Morley. I could be wrong.
Yes, I've read that because I know Michelson and Morley in connection with, dare I say it, the flat Earth, but that's another subject for another theory we'll discuss with the mad scientist.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
So,
yes.
They talked about, you know, the ether and all that.
Yes.
But you know, subsequently it was proven not to be true, and then that's when you get into relativity. But they were able to prove that particles behave like waves.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be glad to show you all some pictures. But we were able to see that there was a crest and trough.
Uh-huh.
And electrons, and so we were able to see that wave-like behavior, and so that's how we know that these particles are behaving like waves. And so another thing about light is that, you know, when it goes through glass, it will bend the light in a certain way. That's why when you look at a cup of water, a clear cup of water, and you put a you put your straw in there, and it looks bent a little bit. That's because the light is being affected by the water, by the traveling in water, so it affects it. That is usually what goes on with light. But light is very, you know, strange, because there's different frequencies of light. So you have visible light, then you have gamma radiation, and so that's what your famous E equals MC squared. We're not talking, you know, when we're talking about C, we denote C as light, speed of light and stuff. We're not talking about visible light. We're talking about gamma rays and X-rays. And so light is attributed to energy, because energy is equal to matter, mass, all that, times the speed of light squared. And so that's what was going on in the early universe, and so that gets into a whole nother field on how the universe was created, because if you have an equal amount of matter and antimatter colliding, it creates energy, and then that energy creates matter again. And so there's that constant loop going on in the early universe, but then somewhere along the way, scientists are like, uh-oh, something happened. We're no longer symmetric. We're asymmetric, because we're made of matter. We're not made of antimatter.
Right.
And we know antimatter exists. The first positron, which is the exact opposite of electron, was discovered in the 30s, and we found other forms of antimatter out in the universe in things like cosmic rays. And so that's just a whole nother area of expertise. And I mean, it goes crazy with what goes
on. So as no matter where you go in the field of pure science, and we're not talking about your high school angry, frustrated teacher that hates God. We're talking about men and women that are at the cutting edge and pushing the boundaries. It seems like no matter where you go, whether you're a creationist, which is the biblical position, or whether you say, no, I'm not going to do that, I'm going to go all the way back, and I'm going to do an evolutionary, quote-unquote, or a Big Bang kind of a thing, you still, at some point, no matter what, your pure science is going to run you into things that you can't answer apart from a creator on the outside setting that up. Now, we talked about the grand theory. We have just a minute or two in this particular episode, but we talked about Hawking's and the grand theory, and then I remember years ago reading about how that he had released a paper that caused a big stir about the loss of information in the universe and the black hole. And I'm not sure if you can speak to that a little, but the pursuit for the grand theory of everything, tell us what that, in layman terms, what that is. That's the holy grail, I'm assuming, of all. And what is that when it comes to that? And then how do you think that connects back to the Lord, like we were talking about the other night?
So, for one, so Hawking said in black holes, you know, we know that things get sucked in. Even if you're going at the speed of light, you can't escape at a certain point. And they have detected, and Hawking have hypothesized, that there's actually Hawking radiation escaping black holes. And so that's a whole new interesting field.
Now, when you say detected, was that detected empirically or through mathematical?
Empirically.
Empirically,
yeah,
okay.
Empirically. We were able to empirically show that Hawking radiation's coming out.
Okay.
It was hypothesized by Hawking, but we were able to prove that. And so when it comes to black holes, so you have, you know, you're getting everything sucked in there, okay? In terms of classical mechanics, we would say that it's lost because it's sucked in there, it won't escape, it can't escape. But in terms of quantum mechanics, it's missing information. So it's not really lost, it's just we can't get to it anymore. So that's a whole nother field. Like I'm telling you, this goes everywhere. You have physicists who dedicate their entire lives to black holes. Physicists dedicate their entire lives to the grand unifying theory. And so now the grand unifying theory is, now we're going back to particle physics. That is the connection of all the four fundamental forces. It's your electric weak theory, force, your strong nuclear force, your electromagnetic force, and your gravitational force.
Okay, so in essence, what you're saying is that the grand theory of everything is how everything works. Yes. What is the interconnectivity between everything? When we come back on our next episode, we're going to jump in a little bit deeper. I want to follow up with the black hole. I think that's a very interesting thing. What is that? Is that a doorway to another dimension? Is it simply a black hole of nothingness? And how can you have nothingness in a matter universe? Mm-hmm. And then we're going to talk about the grand theory of everything and the book of Colossians and what the connection is with the mad scientist here. If you like the Soul Trap, make sure to go to YouTube, like it, share it, subscribe to it, check out thesoultrap.com, and we look forward to seeing you on our next episode. Until then, may the Lord richly bless you.
Nothing shocks me. I'm a scientist.